Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Take a Bow Tuesday edition. Then we got a fine guest joining us very, very shortly. John Nichols from the Cap Times here locally from the nation. You know him. You love him. He was texting me. He's like, where's the producer's call? And I had to admit to you in the audience, I was locked out of the building there for a minute. And I had not yet shared John's favored means of communication, cell phone.
Rookie, come on, man.
I had the card, it turned green, but it wouldn't. We have the card keys here at work. I took the wrong one outside. I was just stretching my legs, you know, top of the hour, getting a little air, and then I had to run around the block here to get back in the building.
Most exercise you got all week, Rudy.
I'm getting my steps. 844-967-2789. No, we're getting to John Nichols, so don't call us. John, we'll call you. Sorry, dude. I got myself locked out for a minute. We're back on the radio now, though.
Hey, John.
Sounds like live radio to me.
Indeed it is.
I got back in the building before the 6:05, whatever time it is now, John.
You don't
I
know what time it is.
I know it's time to talk to John Nichols on the radio. And before we get into the headlines, John, let's talk about the big Cap Times Idea Fest going on this week. It's in motion. Yeah. It's happening. John, what can you tell us about it?
Well, it's the biggest by far that we've had so far, which is kind of cool. I guess you're supposed to go from strength to strength. And this year, as I think probably most people know, we've got Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, the guy who prosecuted George Floyd's murderer. He's going to be on tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Shannon Hall on the UW campus. And Thursday night, Judy Woodruff is in town, the longtime PBS anchor. And on Friday night, we have Senator Bernie Sanders at 7 p.m. at Shannon Hall. And that looks to be probably the biggest Idea Fest event we'll ever do. Or at least the biggest one we've done so far. I shouldn't lower our expectations.
John, here's the problem. You need a bigger venue. Bernie sold him out, running opposite a Badger game and a Brewers game on Friday night. Bernie Sanders is already sold out, John. We're dangling the carrot, but we can't let our audience eat.
Well, come to Ellison on Wednesday night. That will be great as well. Keith Ellison was Bernie Sanders's co-chair in 2016 and 2020, but also he's former head of the Congressional Progressive Caucus and really one of the great leaders on economic and social and racial justice in this country. So I wish that everybody could come see Bernie, but if you can't, come to Keith. It'll be much appreciated. And as for Bernie Sanders, I can tell you that, when we talked about this event, he said to me, there's not a Badger game that night, is there? And I said, well, there is. And he said, well, how do you think we'll do? And I said, I think you'll do okay. And so I'm very pleased that Madison has proven me right.
John Nichols from the Cap Times, the Cap Times Idea Fest going on each day this week, my understanding. John, Saturday, also a big event. Tell people what's going on Saturday and who's the big former Republican headliner Saturday night.
Well, he is indeed. Saturday's a big day in general. We have Jonathan Eich, who's got the great new biography of Martin Luther King Jr. out. And we have Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton, two great state legislators who are talking about, what might happen if the Democrats ever retake the legislature, which should be great. But Saturday night at 7 p.m., we have former Congressman Adam Kinzinger, one of the two Republicans who sat on the January 6th committee, and also one of the rare Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump, a guy who really has, I think, gained an international reputation as someone who was courageous enough to stand up to his own party on behalf of basic democratic principles in the United States. So I think Kinzinger should be a pretty good event as well.
John, now that we've promoted most of the headliners, let me ask you,
yes,
you've known
indeed.
Bernie Sanders for a long time. When you get together with Bernie, night, day, morning, do you offer the man a beer? How do you greet Bernie Sanders? Do you offer him some pea soup like Fred used to have each day at the Broca? What's the regular for Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders is a very easygoing guy. He eats what everybody else eats and drinks what everybody else drinks. He usually has a coffee every day. What we do is we walk a lot. The two of us both of us like to walk. And so when we're together, whether it's in Burlington or even when we've been on the book tour, we tend to, go for a walk, which can be amusing at times because I'll give you an example that back in March, we were down in Tucson, Arizona before the big Tucson Book Festival. And we had a huge event that day, but we had an hour before. So we took a walk through the neighborhoods of Tucson and we were walking by people who were like, tending their flowers and stuff. And people would look up and they're like, do a double take. And they'd say, you're Bernie Sanders. And he is sort of a universally recognized figure. And I can tell you that when we go walking around, people do often recognize him.
You know what I...
One out of 1,000 recognizes me.
When I go out with Dominic, it's like being in the presence of a rock star. Must be like that with Bernie.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Very much like... It is like that. Do you know, the other thing that's really interesting is everyone wants a selfie with Bernie Sanders. It's a very interesting dynamic that everybody wants a selfie, and he's remarkably patient with it. He'll give anybody a second to get it together. And there are thousands, millions of people, I guess, by now who have selfies, who have run into him when he's walking. Because, again, the thing to understand about Bernie Sanders is he is not some elite guy. He drives like a 15-year-old car. He lives in a very normal house. He is what he presents. He is, somebody who came from a working class background. He's done very well, obviously a senator and stuff like that, but he still remains very in tune with grassroots folks.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. John Nichols from The Nation magazine, Cap Times here in Wisconsin. John, also Bernie Sanders and you, us, Friends of Labor, UAW on a strike right now, some targeted strikes, but they're threatening to, increase the pressure, perhaps expand the strikes. I want to get your sense, John. Obviously, this has been brewing for some time. The UAW, the unions, they gave up a lot in order to keep the automotive industry alive for a long time, and they're looking for theirs now. John, how are you seeing this play out?
Well, you just put it in very good perspective, and that's the way to explain it. Back in 2008, 2009, when George Bush and Dick Cheney and their buddies on Wall Street crashed the global economy, and they did, they crashed the global economy. Obviously, that did tremendous damage to the U.S. auto industry. And the auto industry at that point was on the ropes. There was real concern that one or more of the companies could have gone bankrupt. Real concern about, a failure of the industry in general. The auto workers sacrificed their cost of living increases, a lot of their benefits. They accepted multi-tier wage programs, which meant that younger workers who came in didn't get paid as much as older workers for doing the same work. They gave up an immensity, and they knew it was a tremendous sacrifice, but they did it because they wanted to save the industry. The interesting thing was that they assumed, of course, that they would get some recognition for that they would be made whole. But we're now 14, 15 years later, and they haven't been made whole. The Economic Policy Institute tells us that the average auto worker makes less today than they made in real dollars, obviously with inflation, than they made back in 2008, 2009. More significantly, the industry has been incredibly profitable. The industry in the last 10 years has made over $250 billion. I'm going to emphasize that. The big three took in more profited. This is profit. More than $250 billion. This year, they're anticipated to make around $33 to $35 billion just this year. And this is the industry that's saying, oh, we can't give these workers a significant pay increase. We can't, you know, get rid of the multi-tiered wage structures. We can't restore cost of living. It's just a lie, frankly. They have more money than they know what to do with. They're literally doing stock buybacks, and they are not negotiating in good faith. So the union had to walk. They've done it in a very smart, structured way. They took two or three major plants out, including the Jeep plant in Toledo, which is obviously one of their critical factories because the Jeep is a very popular vehicle. And if the companies do not negotiate in good faith, they will take more people out. This is a very popular strike. It is popular with the workers. There's all evidence that they're incredibly supportive of it. It's also popular with the American people. There's a poll out that shows 75% of Americans, again, emphasizing that number, 75% of Americans support the UAW rather than the companies.
John Nichols, our fine guest. John, about a minute left in this segment. We were just in Chippewa Falls the other day, Dom and I doing a show. And
Leinenkugel's.
Yeah, the brewery went through a strike, and it's not a locally owned, family-owned brewery anymore. It's an international conglomerate. But the people of Chippewa Falls supported the workers, John. Something of a union labor renaissance. John, what can you tell us about the example of Leine's?
Well, you're nailing it, brother, because what you saw in you know, like a smaller perspective just there in Chippewa Falls is really part of a national story, and that is that polling shows us unions are more popular than they've been at pretty much any time in history. You know, literally something in the range of two-thirds to 70, 75% of Americans are supportive of unions. And so this is a time when unions can and should be making big demands. And that's obviously what the UAW is doing. That's what the Leinenkugel workers did. And the Leinenkugel workers got their contract. I believe the UAW workers will get their contract as well.
John Nichols, if you could please stick around, sir. Want to ask you about some of the local issues, perhaps the pending impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz, the attempt to remove the Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf, and, you know, the overturning of the 400-year legislative piece by Tony Evers. That made me a little sad. John, come back with us. Then I'll be happy. The happier happy hour. Devil's Advocates, John Nichols and you. Stick around, please.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us. You can find the Devil's Advocates on the shows tab. Click on that, find a podcast and interviews.
Dominic, friend of labor, friend of the Devil's Advocates, friend of Bernie Sanders, John Nichols, our fine guest from the nation, from the Cap Times here locally. John, I got to ask you about some of the local headlines. The known Wisconsin Republicans are looking to unseat the Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf, a woman who effectively did her job at the directive of the bipartisan board. And John, the big lie, it's still alive and kicking here in the state of Wisconsin. Hell, we're making policy on it. We're throwing out election commissioner administrators over it, at least if they don't win the lawsuit. So, John, where do we stand? Where do you think we stand on this?
Well, it kind of tells you everything about, you know, where the Republicans are. They're terrified of the 2024 election. They know that they burned an awful lot of bridges, and that the pattern in Wisconsin is changing. I'm not telling you the pattern everywhere in the country is changing. I suspect that, you know, Alabama is still going to vote for Donald Trump and elect Republicans to the Senate, although they may elect another Democrat to the House. But in Wisconsin, the pattern has shifted. Since really 2018, we've seen Democrats win and win and win and win and win. Most statewide races, taking three Supreme Court races, shifting control of the Supreme Court, winning the governorship twice by increasing margins, reelecting Tammy Baldwin in 2018, and very likely to reelect her possibly with very weak opposition in 2024. So the Republicans look at that and they say, wow, you know, this deck is not stacked in our favor. And instead of, you know, looking in the mirror and saying, you know, maybe our ideas aren't very popular. Maybe what we're trying to promote isn't an agenda that people in Wisconsin like. They're trying to game the system. And they're looking at kind of every angle to game it, throwing people out on the election commission and, you know, trying to weaken it as much as they can, trying to shift power over elections away from the commission, which is nonpartisan, or at least bipartisan, over to the legislature. And then obviously attacking the Supreme Court, trying to, you know, reject the will of the people. Remember, Janet Protasiewicz was elected by 200,000 votes, a 55-45 margin, swept into office, just as Justice Karofsky was, just as Justice Dallet was, just as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley was. I mean, they have a popular majority on the Supreme Court elected to restore the rule of law in Wisconsin and stop having the Supreme Court act as an arm of the Republican legislature. And the Republican legislature is doing everything in its power to try and avert an examination of our gerrymandered maps, because they know if the court orders the drawing of fair maps, if the court draws fair maps, that's going to upend an awful lot of Republican legislators who've been coasting in districts that were drawn to favor them, even if they do a lousy job.
John, and compare that, what's going on here in the state of Wisconsin versus like Pennsylvania. According to The Hill today, Pennsylvania introducing automatic voter registration ahead of the 2024 election cycle. It seems like, you know, what, them and like 23, 24 other states, automatic voter registration, trying to encourage people to get involved in the electoral process. Here, the Republicans, they seem to be banging the same drum. They can't stand losing.
Well, and I mean, I'll tell you that with the change that's going to take place in Pennsylvania under Governor Josh Shapiro is a huge deal, because historically, Pennsylvania has been a very hard state to vote in. It's been a hard state to get registered, hard state to vote in. They've got a lot of barriers. As the Democrats knock those barriers down, you're going to have two things happen. One, your elections are going to become more transparent, fairer, more responsibly run. And two, in that context, Democrats are going to win and probably win Pennsylvania by a substantially wider margin than they did in 2024. Remember, Pennsylvania's a lot like, or in 2024, they'll win by a wider margin. Pennsylvania's a lot like Wisconsin. It's a state that in 2016 voted for Trump very, very narrowly, but in 2018 shifted over, you know, much more to the Democrats. In 2020 voted for Biden, and in 2022 saw Democrats really sweep in the state, electing Josh Shapiro as governor, but also electing John Fetterman as their U.S. senator. So the pattern is in the favor of the Democrats. And obviously, if you make it easier to vote, most evidence tells you that Democrats are going to do better.
John Nichols, our fine guest, for a few more minutes. John, Wisconsin's own 3rd District Congressman Derek Van Orden. There's new news. Our recent guest, Mark Pocan, tells us he's seen the videotape from the night Van Orden was getting all salty with the Senate pages and swearing at him and telling him, you know, get the F up and et cetera. Well, John, we now understand after that act of profanity and perhaps drunken midnight raging, he took a bow. According to my congressman, your buddy Mark Pocan, he took a bow for his drinking buddies. John, I have never taken a sober bow in my life. My word, sir, I think this is every indication the congressman was hammer drunk that night.
Whoa, that's a heavy charge, my friend. I don't know Derek Van Orden.
It's well just enough. Speculation. My opinion, sir.
I understand, and I don't know him well enough to speak to his drinking habits, although I understand that there was a photograph the night of the incident of quite a few open bottles on the table back in the office, which is, you know, again, no indication of any problem. I mean, as a native Wisconsinite, I have walked into many homes with open bottles and understood that not everyone in that home was drinking. The pattern doesn't look good for Van Orden. And, you know, it's a funny thing. That is such a closely divided district up there, you know, in western Wisconsin. It's where my family's from originally, out around, you know, Platteville and some of those towns out in the southwestern part of the state. And those are pretty easygoing people, to be honest. They don't mind you having a drink, but they would prefer that you're able to hold your alcohol. And if you kind of fall apart, you know, they go off the deep end. That is something that might, you know, bode ill politically for a candidate.
A Wisconsinite who can't handle their booze, John, that's a grave sin in this state.
That's an electoral liability.
No, we usually call that person your uncle. But but the reality, though, is that we don't usually send your uncle to Congress.
John Nichols, thank you so much. You hit the post. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Take a Bow Tuesday, happy hour rolling through it. Thank you to our most recent fine guest, Take a Bow, John Nichols. Well done, sir. Drop the mic if you must. And you can join us. You can be a part. You know, bow-worthy performances only, though. 844-967-2789. Dom, a couple of headlines I'd like to throw out for your consideration. Poor dude that was groping Lauren Boebert's been dumped to the curb.
Oh, to be fair, she was, you know, reciprocating the groping.
They say it takes two to tango. It was a reciprocal groping at the Beetlejuice performance, live performance.
I mean, no better place.
It was clearly the congresswoman doing the vaping that she at first claimed she wasn't doing. And apparently,
fog machine, wasn't me.
Apparently blowing the vape smoke in the face of a pregnant woman.
And we still, to this point, my understanding, don't know exactly what was being vaped, right?
We don't know for sure.
We don't. Now, she is in Colorado, and Colorado does have legal weed, but she's also, and I've seen her, I've gone to some gun ranges because, you know, liberals do have guns too, folks. And I've seen like cardboard cutouts of Lauren Boebert in these gun ranges with her guns. So Lauren Boebert has guns. So Lauren Boebert probably filled out some paperwork to get the guns. And I was wondering if she was honest about her drug consumption, perhaps drug consumption. We don't know. Cannabis legal in the state, but you know, perhaps not allowed on federal forms.
That is more rampant speculation than me assuming that Derek Van Orden was hammer drunk that July 29th evening at the U.S. Capitol, because no sober man takes a bow. Not unless he's done a performance for like a standing room.
Well, right.
There's really no excuse.
Entertainers out there, you know, musicians and artists and, you know, actors, all that kind of thing. Now, he is an actor, right? Isn't Derek Van Orden?
Acting.
Yes, he's acting like a member of Congress, but he's really a D-bag.
I would say he's acting like a D-bag the whole time.
No, man. That's his true nature. He's acting like a member of Congress.
Well, poor Lauren Boebert's going to be lonely tonight. You know what she blamed it on? Dude's a Democrat.
I don't know, man.
And her former partner in Crazy Caucus, the other one. Did you hear she's an author now?
MTG. Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
The new book from Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, you know, the politicians, they drop books when they're getting ready to run for something. So what's that going to be?
Well, just in case Trump needs a VP candidate, you know, I would have gone with three toes.
Need someone to get him some cigarettes and the pen? I mean, what's she going to do for the guy?
Rep Marjorie Taylor Greene is set to release a tell-all book this fall.
Ooh.
Chronicling her meteoric rise to fame as one of the nation's most prominent far-right lawmakers and most loyal supporters of former President Trump in Congress. Wonder if she gets to go furniture shopping, Dom. I wanted people to hear my side of the story, Green told the Washington Examiner, which is where one goes when one has a book to promote. not the Post, the Examiner. Some of it is setting the record straight. Green's publisher confirmed the report in a statement to The Hill. We are thrilled that that Congresswoman Green is publishing her first book with Winning Team Publishing. I bet this one ain't going to be amongst your winners. A few individuals have taken Congress by storm in the same way she has. This book will pull back the curtain on her life, politics, and the Washington swamp. Don, will be titled MTG and will be released on November 21st. The Washington Examiner reported it reportedly has been in the works for about a year. Is it a coloring book, I wonder, Don?
It's got to connect the dots and do the outline.
Dom, I've got just a little bit more from Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG, if you will. I'm always controversial, but I think this book might be a little controversial with some of the stories. Now, she didn't put an air quote, but I'm going to stories. She added she hopes to introduce myself to America as me, not the character that the mainstream media created and sold to America over the past few years. With the Jewish space lasers. That's on us, the mainstream media.
When I think of Marjorie Taylor Greene in her most terrible situation, was when she was harassing the hog kid who was a victim of the school shootings. He was walking around D.C. trying to do something about it, and she was walking behind him busting his chops, man. I mean, what a terrible human being. It's one thing, you don't want to have gun safety. Okay, MTG, that's fine. You could take that tact if you want. I don't see you walking around with a nuclear bomb or a Tommy gun, but whatever, regulation is there. But for a kid to experience that kind of trauma and you walk behind him, like just yelling at him and talking crap. I mean, what a POS. MTG should be called POS.
It's not. Nor is it called Three Toes. It's called MTG. One more quote from the congresswoman. Green told the D.C.-based news outlet, again, this is the Washington Examiner, Dom, almost as prestigious as the Post.
Almost.
The book is about 300 pages long. And Trump had about a million people at his inauguration. And will chronicle her upbringing, her first campaign for Congress in 2020, and her 3 years on the Hill. I talk about COVID and my personal experience going through that when my dad died. Now, I didn't know she lost her father to COVID, but of course, she's probably, anti-vax, anti-mask. But let me read on. I talk about fights I've had with people. I talk about the speaker's race. I talk about the House Freedom Caucus. So I'm pretty much running the gamut. And I even talked about Jewish space lasers, she told the Washington Examiner. The Hill has reached out to Green's office for further comment. We have not seen a copy of the book yet, Dom. I look forward to reading it.
Good luck with that.
Or using it as, kindling. 844-967-2789. Have you ever written a book, Dom?
No, I have not written a book.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, Three Toes, has written one more book than you.
just because it's can be written down doesn't mean it's worth reading, man. You know what I mean? All that's fit to print. Nowadays, man, it's not about the volume of content. It's about the content of the book. You know what I mean? What are you writing about? MTG.
She told you Jewish space lasers.
Yeah.
The inside story.
Nope. The other thing I remember.
Her enemies list.
A victim of school shootings. Besides that, was her coming out of the White House talking about how they were going to, having great talks to overthrow the government. I mean, she was in the White House too, man. So how about the insurrection, MTG? No, thank you.
844-967-2789. CJ, I realize you live in the second congressional district. At least I suspect you do. You tell us it's Stoughton. But what do you think about the guy from the third, that Derek Van Orden? And as a follow-up question, have you ever bowed sober? Have you ever bowed, CJ?
I have.
Who have you bowed to, dude? I mean, you should bow down before the greatest radio show ever, but who have you bowed to? In what circumstance?
Well, that's another story, and you won't keep me on long enough for that one, but...
Well, I want to hear the bowing story. It's the other stuff we'll cut you off on.
Literally ask, man. You can answer that or we can cut you off. You go, CJ.
I know more people clap for me than they are for AOC or the president as he sneaks out of New York City after surrendering at the UN.
You gave the clap to more people than who?
Did you see how well he was welcomed with the illegal immigration? See how well his policy's working in New York City as he blew by Eric Adams and didn't even wave?
So, you realize this, you know, this is not moving the electorate.
Some current events.
Current events. Current events. We're talking about current events. We're talking about Derek Van Orden. All right, CJ, do you think Derek Van Orden yelling at the kids in the Capitol at midnight after an office party, do you think that is acceptable behavior for a U.S. congressperson?
No, I think it's disgusting.
Okay, so fair enough. But, I'll give you the but since you agreed and you answered quickly. What's the but?
How about some current events like the actions of this president?
Let's talk about the impeachment. Failures. The impeachment starts on Tuesday. Shouldn't they vote, CJ? Shouldn't there be an impeachment inquiry vote? What?
No, the inquiry is about getting information, something that Pencil Neck lied to you.
But you're going
to
call it an impeachment.
And your station lied to us for 2.5 years.
No, they voted on it, and then they held a trial, and the former president was not convicted at his first or second impeachment. We played it on the air. But CJ, if they're not actually bringing this guy to trial, if they don't yet have any evidence, what is the purpose and why aren't they voting on it? I mean, didn't Kevin McCarthy, the speaker, tell us that?
I think it's funny they don't yet have any evidence that you actually can say that with a straight face.
I do so with a very straight face.
Wouldn't they actually, if I may, CJ, I mean, as an example of the Trump impeachment, if the evidence was there, and so clearly you think it is, then why wouldn't they actually do a vote on the House floor?
High crimes and misdemeanor. If the evidence is there, let's go.
Take the vote. Let's do it. Why not, CJ?
Because the FBI, the CIA, the president, the executive, the Congress are obstructing them. This is the way to get
the Congress. And the Republicans run the Congress.
What are you talking about, man? The House can do what they want. If they have the evidence, whether or not there's interference by the deep state, CJ, you said they have the evidence. So whatever happened, they were not able to keep that evidence concealed, according to your own testimony here today, sir.
Wait.
So yeah, what?
And I would actually like to hear the evidence, not the speculation, not the inference, but one scintilla of credible evidence. Where is that?
You obviously didn't watch James Comer and the Oversight Committee. Okay, because
So summarize it for us. What's the evidence?
I see a headline with Comer. Biden impeachment already collapsing as new evidence destroys GOP theories. That's the headline I see. I thought you're keeping up with the headline, CJ. The face I see is Comer.
Are you gonna play the impeachment hearing like you did?
No.
Don't you care about justice?
Well, first you would have to vote and have a trial.
Or is it an impeachment inquiry? Why would we play an impeachment inquiry?
I'm not carrying every congressional witch hunt Benghazi crap on this radio network. No, CJ. No, man.
Don't care.
If you got a trial.
No, that's false. I'm going to cut you off right there, CJ. Of course we care. We care about corruption. We don't want corruption from a Dem or from a Republican. It's you and the Republicans who do not care, CJ, because if you did, you'd be looking into what? The billions of dollars given to the former president's son-in-law, who was in charge of what? The Middle East, right? CJ, come on, man. This is an embarrassing situation for you. It's really easy for me, and I'm not going to speak for Crudy. If there was something there, Okay, prosecute it. Very simple. Because you know what? I'm not in a cult. I don't care. I don't want presidents or president's sons or sons-in-law, you know, taking advantage and being corrupt and influencing illegally policy in the United States. But you and your Republicans, you seem to give Jared Kushner a pass on that. It is you, sir, who do not care.
Dominic, I would give Bernie Sanders a break and vote for him if he shot CJ on Fifth Avenue. I'm not saying that Bernie would ever commit an act of violence, but I would still vote for him if CJ was the target.
Terrible. Come on, man. 844.
We don't condone violence against CJ.
89. And no violence ever. That's why we have conversations. That's why we do it verbally, not physically. Join us. Last segment, 844-96-PARTY.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, you can hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. Stick around for the Maggie Dawn show coming up at 6 o'clock.
I'm going to chastise myself. I shouldn't have said that to CJ. Because not every listener knows every drop from Donald Trump, doesn't know perhaps that that was a joking reference to the former president. That's what he said about his supporters, right? They were so loyal. You know, CJ was one of them. So Trump could shoot a person on Fifth Avenue and never lose the support of CJ and the most loyal cultist. But I would never and should never imply that violence is merited against a particular human or any other person, even CJ. We're lovers, not haters, Dom.
Well, see, this is what I'm saying.
But
man,
you know how I try to be funny and sometimes, you know, I didn't know if everyone knew the reference.
I appreciate that, Crudy. I get it, man. I understand from whence you come. And I'm not clear that, you know, CJ and lots of Republicans still will vote for this man. So Trump in that regard is not necessarily incorrect. I mean, people died when they ransacked the Capitol. He sat there for 3 hours while his white Christian nationalist Proud Boys and Oath Keepers and randoms attacked law and order. For 3 hours, the man sat there and did nothing.
Oh, you mean
he did nothing?
Tourists within the velvet ropes?
Yes.
Very patriotic, those.
And the Republicans are fine with that. And, you know, and there's a piece, Molly Zhang Fast put it up on Vanity Fair. I follow her on Twitter as well. Essentially, this constant conversation, this constant battle that we have about, you know, do you put Trump on the air? You know, this interview at NBC recently.
The first journalist, Welker's introduction to the former, Meet the Chuck Todd. And Chuck Todd's out, and he sucked, and he deserved to be out. But now Kristen Welker, we liked her. And her very first interview was Trump.
Ugh.
Gave platform him spewing lies.
Well, this is the thing. How do you, I mean, unless you're going to cut him off like we do CJ, you know what I mean? And I think you do. I don't think you give, you know, the fascist bastards any oxygen whatsoever. And if you're going to bring him on, then he's getting his ass. You know what I'm saying? This is not, these are not normal times. I don't think that any of these, you know, media organizations should be putting a guy like Donald Trump on the air. Everyone knows who the fascist autocrat is. Everyone knows it. What is he going to provide other than what? Lies, deceit, obfuscation. I mean, he is Donald Trump. You don't need to give the man airtime.
I'm glad you made that clarity at the end, because I thought you were talking about all the reasons we shouldn't give CJ a platform.
Yeah.
844. Maybe with a shock collar. You know, we turn off his microphone, but you couldn't turn off Trump's.
No, shock collar. That's too cruel. It's a little spray bottle.
Ah! Little mini, don't taste me, bro. Oh, just at Trump's hair. That might actually keep him on the truth. If you threatened to wet down that beaver pelt, oh, that might be a thing that moved the needle down. 844-967-2789. Don't be mean to CJ, even if he deserves it. Drew from Lake Mills, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, gentlemen. I just want to maybe lighten the mood a little bit here, and I'm going to put you guys on the spot because I'm going to ask you a question, give you my answer, and hang up and listen to yours, okay? So
all right. You
take all the politics, if you take all the politics out of it, and you are, I'm going to say, you are the gentleman who Lauren Boebert was with on the other night. Don't every now and then, don't you kind of want to hang out with somebody like that and just have a lot of fun? I don't know. I'm just
bless
saying,
her heart.
Lauren
Boebert or her former date?
No. She sounds like she's kind of a fun date, right? If you take all the politics,
there is some visual evidence that she was down for the party that night, Drew. So there have been prior allegations that she was a party girl, and I can speak from personal experience, and here's a little confessional. Dom used to love those party girls in college.
Oh, man, come on. Politics aside, yeah, man, I love the love. Are you kidding me? Yes. In front of kids? No, that's not great. I mean, here in Wisconsin, I remember a few years ago at the Wisconsin State Fair, there's some people having sex and like at the State Fair, like literally at the State Fair.
Hasn't everybody?
I mean, so there's a time.
What do you think
place.
Those cream puffs are made out of?
Oh, terrible, man. I know. They're terrible. So would you, is that the question? Would you date, would you party with Lauren Boebert if it weren't about politics? As a sex buddy, you know what I'm saying? If you're just talking about this random casual sex, you know, that's probably, you know, assuming, you know, no obligations anywhere, right? Dominic single.
You're not going to have to serve on her staff or right, vote for her.
Just talking about just people hanging out. Well, yeah, sure, man. But that's a pretty long list. The shorter list is who I wouldn't. But unfortunately, she's so ugly because of her politics, because of her ideas, because of her mannerisms, because of who she is. She's nasty, man. She's an embarrassment. I wouldn't want to. You want to go to take her to a play? Really? You don't take her to a play. Why would you take her in public? No, she's an embarrassment. I would not do that. So, no, my answer would be no. I would not date, even casual for casual sex, Lauren Boebert. And it's a low bar.
Dominic, a couple of commenters.
Wait, Crudy. No. Come on. Your turn.
I'm a married man, happily.
So am I. Assuming you're not married. You're in college. You referred to my college days. Wasn't married in college. What about Crudy in college?
Was I dating any other woman at the time? Because I'd like to think I was an honorable man, but, you know, it was college.
Date? Whatever, man. Assume you're single and there's no obligations and everything's on the up and up with two consenting adults. Would you take her to see a play?
I would just say.
What?
I would only say if Joe brought home Lauren Boebert.
Come on.
And we were in the living room and Joe was getting frisky with the congresswoman in future congress.
I'm going to cut you off, CJ. You're not answering the question.
Well, I will answer the question in this way, because that actually happened. It wasn't Lauren Boebert. I think her name was Trish. And I said, get a room. And you about smacked me in the head because you wanted to watch, you filthy, filthy man.
What? What are you talking? Crudy, would you date Lauren Boebert if you were single? Would you take her to the play? Would you go see Beetlejuice?
She's got a quality. I'll just say that.
So, yes, you would.
I'm not going to say that aloud. There'll be no saying it aloud.
Thank the guests. Let's end the segment.
Let's end
please
this radio show with a bow. Take a bow, everyone. Thank you for listening. Coming up, Maggie Dawn. She is excellent and super sexy. And she's back on the radio tonight. Stick around.